Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
So, you know, part of the idea that we're talking about is that the first 7 years of our life are programmed. And we cannot emphasize enough how important it is to understand that. Because if we're going to bridge the gap between the thinking that keeps us stuck over to a different kind of thinking that allows us to create the life that we want, become millionaires, multimillionaires, billionaire even, you have to understand the difference between the two, where it came from, and then how do we actually change it? So if our mind is programmed with a way of what we call how to think, we're understanding that really what we're doing is we're observing our world, and then subconsciously, automatically, our mind is telling us how to think about the things that we're observing. So let's take a look here at a bit of this difference. On the left side, you have the way the middle class, the working class, think. On the right, you have wealth mindset. Middle class is really taught from basically from birth that hard work is the thing. It's the value, it's the ethic. And the problem, it's not that hard work is a bad thing. The problem is that hard work is the only thing. That is like the only way to get through life. You have to work hard to get ahead. That's what we hear. Even though wealthy people usually do work hard, the idea is that they're more focused on leverage. So they're working hard at leverage. Middle class is working hard at working hard. And there is a whole self-esteem component around that. The problem is that a person begins to self-identify through how they worked versus the actual result that they get. The middle class is also looking for safety. They're constantly in a position where, and this is the other thing that's really crazy about this, we're taught to work, to do things in a safe way where we're not risking too much, where we have money in the bank, where we're able to retire, we can buy a house, we can take our family on a vacation. That's kind of the idea. Except the safety, the indication is that we'll hit this point where we don't have to do it anymore. And it's 100% not true. It does not exist. We were sold a lie, and we've been sold a lie for a long time, but people really believe this. One of the ways that I can identify that that is true is that almost everybody that I work with, when I start working with them, they're always asking us, Steph, is this not true? When am I going to get there? When am I going to get there? And I'm like, where is there? Where is it that you're actually looking to get? Well, when am I going to get to the million? When am I not going to have to work as hard? I would ask you to think, where is that thought coming from? Because there's no rationality to it. And people really, when you question somebody on it, they don't really understand why they're thinking what they're thinking, other than they've always heard, if I work hard, I will get there, the proverbial there, and I won't have to work hard anymore, or I'll be able to take time off, or I'll be able to do the thing I actually like. And it is so backwards, because if you actually find the thing that you like, it won't feel like you're working hard, and you'll be able to actually learn, which will progress you forward. Next thing, comfort versus discomfort or being uncomfortable. Wealthy people are not concerned with the comfort of what they need to do to get where it is that they want to go. Again, this is very closely tied to the idea of when will I get there, which then feeds into the mentality of buy things to make your life more comfortable. So when you're constantly looking for comfort, think about this for a second. Would you be looking for comfort if you weren't uncomfortable? Probably not. What are you uncomfortable with? Working hard, doing things that you don't like to do, working with people that you don't like. You just want to get to the day where you don't have to worry about it anymore. And the biggest underlying worry is, what if I run out of money? Where's the money going to come from? How am I going to continue to earn money if I'm not working hard? So the idea is then we're supposed to save. We're supposed to get to this ethereal place of when it all stops, we don't have to worry anymore. We don't have to be frightened in our life, and we have some sense of certainty. It does not exist. Wealthy people know this, and so they're not afraid to be uncomfortable because there's nothing to fear in actually being uncomfortable. I have found most people don't realize the idea of being uncomfortable to the middle class is very much associated in fear, not comfort. Because if they're comfortable, they're not worrying. That's really what the association is. Middle class have been taught to climb the ladder. Wealth owns the ladder. And you might think to yourself, well, don't you have to climb the ladder to own the ladder? No, you don't. You absolutely do not. It's a completely shift in mindset. If I'm programmed with, I have to climb, I have to work hard, I have to, participate in the rat race to get there so I can get to the place where I own the ladder. The problem is I'm so stuck in this thinking, I never actually own anything because I'm constantly having to do things on credit or buying things that don't make a difference in my life to maintain the illusion of comfort, to maintain the illusion of that I'm growing so that everybody else on social media and the neighbors can see evidence that I'm actually growing. But if you were to look in the bank account, there's nothing there. If you would look at anything of substance, there's actually nothing there. It's constantly chasing this place that's a complete illusion. Here's a good one. Middle class want to associate themselves and surround themselves with nice people. We hear it from birth, right? Nice people and not nice people. It's a value proposition that's handed to us without ever understanding that nice is not a value. It's a way of being. Kind is a value. Look at it like this. Does anybody remember when you were kids and you were doing something that maybe you shouldn't have been doing and your parents said, be nice, be nice? What were they saying? Ignore how you feel. Put on a face of being nice so you can get along with people because we don't want confrontation. We don't want to worry about what the neighbors think. We don't want to be associated with doing something bad or wrong. So we never get to know ourselves. On the other side of this, wealth people are looking for successful people. They want to be around people that are effective. They want to be around people that cause them to stretch and grow. On the middle class mindset, people are always worried about if they're going to look like a fraud. I don't want to be around somebody that's doing much more than I'm doing because then I might look like a fraud. Wealthy people understand the whole key of moving ahead is actually learning. And you have to surround yourself with people that are further ahead than you are if you're actually going to learn and be able to adopt a mindset that's going to get you where you want to go. Middle class, work to earn. Wealth mindset, work to learn. It's really about working to learn. Why? Because the whole idea is, what can I continue to create? What can I continue to create in my life? I'm not looking to stop. I'm looking to create. I'm looking to learn. I'm looking to improve. I'm looking to advance. All of that allows me to help more people, which increases the wealth. It increases the wealth of everything, but because it continually has the movement of money and products and goods and services all over the world. Middle class, work for things. Wealth mindset, work for assets. The wealthy think about, what do I own that's an asset that is going to pay me some kind of a dividend? Learning is one of those assets that they value almost above everything else. The more I know, the more I have the ability to do, right? Now, that means there's a probability that you will do it, but it's not actually associated with most middle-class people. The average is a person reads like, I don't know, 2 books a year or something like that. If you talk to most people that are extremely successful, they're always reading, they're always learning, they're always stretching because they want the assets. They want the asset of the knowledge. They want the asset of what they're doing. They want the asset of owning things that continually pay dividends in their life instead of things, dead things, basically, that the middle class works for that don't pay anything. They actually take from their life. If I have credit card debt that is charged for a bunch of things that don't do anything but give me a brief comfort, it doesn't pay anything back to my life, right? So the wealthy are also, they also have this great ability to put off the immediate need for something that they don't really need in the moment, to wait for something that will produce an asset in their life. Let's go on. The middle class is taught, even though it's not done very much, they're taught that saving is the important thing. We need to save for a rainy day. We need to save for a vacation, save for a house, save for retirement, save for college education. And they're attempting to save on not enough money to begin with. So then they hear, then don't live as extravagantly, right? But they're also with this crazy notion that they have to keep up with everybody else. Wealth mindset is focused on earning. If I want more, I want to earn more. And if I want to earn more, I have to change the way that I'm thinking. If I'm focusing on saving, well, here, let me just share this with you. I don't know how many times a person will say, you know, David, I'd love to do your course or somebody else's course, or I'd love to hire a coach or a mentor, but I don't want to go in debt to do it. But they'll go in debt to buy a car. They'll go in debt to buy a house. They'll go in debt to buy furniture. Or then you'll see them on Facebook after they just said that they won't do it. They went in debt to buy a vacation, right? So it's like those things are here and gone in a second, and they're not investing in something that pays off with allowing them to earn for the rest of your life. If I can teach you how to become a millionaire, you own that forever. You own the knowledge, you own the skill set, and you have the repeatability of actually being able to do it. You don't need that anymore. So what pays off better, buying a house or hiring a mentor that is going to teach you how to create an asset that continues to replicate for the rest of your life? Emotional about money. Middle class is very emotional about money. There's a tremendous amount of fear here. There's also a tremendous amount of pressure to keep up with the Joneses. They almost don't even understand how marketing works. They're a product of being constantly manipulated to buy things everywhere they go that when you say that they don't really need, the whole idea that marketers traditionally know is, if I can get an idea into a person's mind, I can create the desire for the things. So I will play off of their insecurity in order to sell them shit that they don't actually need. Now, there's generally not anything wrong with the stuff that they're selling. The problem is that because a person is so insecure and they're so emotional about money, they make rash decisions about what they're going to buy, and they're not strategic about where they spend their money. Wealthy people are very strategic about where the money goes. And it doesn't mean that a wealthy person doesn't buy what they want to buy or what they need. They absolutely do that. But because they're also focused on earning, if I'm going to buy something extra, I already know I have the ability to pay for that extra without having to go into more debt to do it. So think about that process. I had a few calls this week where somebody said to me, I really would like to continue to advance my business, but I need a vacation. What do I do? I'm like, advance your business and take a vacation. You could take a vacation. You just have to be willing to pay for it. But where they were coming from is, well, should I sacrifice the vacation for something else that I actually need? In other words, well, it's going to cost me a lot of money to go on this vacation, but if I spend the money to go on vacation, I can't invest in my business in this place, this place, and this place. And they named a bunch of places. And it's like, no, wealthy people don't think that way. They understand how to do both because they understand how to earn money. If I want something, I know how to earn the money to go get it. The middle class doesn't, because they're stuck in the ideology of trading their time for money and working hard, which you run out of time and you run out of your ability to work any harder, right? You get to a point of diminishing returns where you're no longer effective. The next one is goals that they know how they can do. The middle class is forever setting goals with the idea of, it's not a risky goal. I'm pretty sure I can do it because I've done something similar before. Wealthy, they don't think that way at all. They're setting goals that they have to learn to do something different, a new skill set, a new idea, a new methodology, a new strategy, in order to move forward. And they're constantly stepping into it. Why? What's the problem? How come most middle class people don't do that? Or they may do it with like one little thing here or there, but nothing that has any real significance in their life. because they're so insecure. Their self-image is so about, I don't want to fail and I don't want other people to see me fail. So I don't want to take that risk and get the ridicule. They don't do anything. They want to be 100% sure it's going to work before they do it, or they won't do it. And because they never get to that place of being 100% sure in their mind, they never actually take that step, or they don't do it consistently enough in order to get where they want to go. So Steph was saying, well, so how do you bridge this? How do you bridge the gap? The key is that you take places like this, where you see the difference, where you're becoming aware of the difference. And the idea is, number one, you have to first understand what mindset you're operating from and why in order to change it. Here's why you won't change it if you don't understand it. There's too much fear. The mindset that you've been seriously programmed with is all about safety. So if I don't have a logical reason as to how I'm going to be safe if I change this mindset, I'm not going to change it. I better not take that risk. You know what? I mean, I'm just too busy right now. Now is not the right time to do this. So we stay stuck in the rationalization of not actually changing anything. So the first key is to really understand the difference between these mindsets and how they operate. Why is it logical to do the things that a wealthy person thinks about doing? Why is it logical to take on that mindset? The next piece of this puzzle is that middle-class people generally don't stick to new commitments. They stick to what they're currently committed to, the way of life they're currently committed to, but not to new commitments. So if I want to bridge this gap, I have to develop the value, the belief, and the habit of being my word, meaning that whatever I say I'm going to do, I know I'm going to follow through on. And you have to ask yourself the question, do you follow through on everything that you say that you do, or even that you want to do? And the answer is going to be no. It's because basically it's no for everybody. Nobody does it 100% perfect all the time. But wealthy people do it much better to their advantage, i.e. the things that they want, they generally get, because they stick to the decision to follow through. They stick to the process. The idea is this: when I sit down and create a vision for my life, here's a vision, here's what I really want in my life. The vision then dictates what has to happen in order to bring that in my life. Everything has a price. Everything operates by cause and effect. If I want to become a millionaire and I want to do it in a specific area that I'm talented or gifted or have an interest of doing something, the way to do that is going to be dictated by whatever the cause and effect is of that thing in order to create a million in that business or that industry or with that product or that service. So we have to stick to it, Steph, if we're going to make any significant change to get to the other side. Because the human mind also needs evidence that the other side's working, right? People don't want to just do things blindly and not have any evidence of it. We want evidence that that we're doing is working. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, I'm listening to this and I'm like, my brain always goes to themes. And the theme here I'm seeing is that the middle class is very much about staying in a box or a bubble, like staying in this place. And a wealth mindset is about movement. It's about growth. It's about advancement. And you do a lot of teaching around the impression of increase, but how does a person convey the impression of advancement in everything that they do? And why is that so crucial to making this shift?
So I think the idea when it comes to the impression of increase or the impression of advancement is basically this. We'll go back to the stick person here for a minute. The real idea is that if I'm going to convey this impression to another human being, they're over here, I have to have the result in my life. I have to have the result. Otherwise, there's no impression of increase. Right? I mean, if you were ever raised, like, how do I identify a con person? They don't have the result, right? You can't find any evidence that they actually have the result in their life. But psychologically, everybody is looking for someone that can help them advance. Most of our life in our early years was spent with people that supposedly could help us advance. Teachers, mentors, parents, society, that type of thing. We're learning, 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 but we're not really advancing. We're learning to stay stagnant and mediocre for the rest of our life so that we don't actually get hurt. So if I want to have, if I want to really be able to influence another individual to have some kind of positive movement in that person's life, not only do I need to have the result, because when I have the result, I'm operating from integrity. And here's what that does. That means that my thoughts, my feelings or my emotions, and my actions are all in alignment with each other, okay? They're not out of alignment. And if I'm in alignment, I'm communicating very effectively to another individual without any kind of a double binding message to that person. Because here's the thing, people pick up on what's not true, right? If I'm thinking something, but I've never really done it, I can show you all kinds of flashy pictures, but subconsciously, I'm going to communicate to you, well, I've never really done it, right? Because I'm not in integrity with myself. This is why the commitment is really so important, Steph, because the idea about an elite mindset or a wealth mindset is that there is a consistency there. A person is, you know, look at lottery winners. They win a ton of money in a very short period of time on a game of chance or luck. They don't have the emotional maturity to deal with it, so they're susceptible to every possible thing that could be put in front of them, and the money is usually gone within 5 years. Like 85% of lottery winners are broke within 5 years, and then a huge significant amount go broke after that. So there's nothing inside that's stable that allows them from an emotional place to be able to deal with it. Now, here's the other thing. If you take somebody and thrust them completely out of their comfort zone where they don't identify with that thing, like winning the lottery, like having a lot of money, the subconscious mind wants to take them back to where they're comfortable every single time. So then we call this sabotage. You'll see a person that has a vision, they're setting goals, they don't change their mindset. They don't pay really give much attention to it at all. And if they get their income up, they bring it right back down, because it's in harmony with who they really believe that they are. And that's a problem, because we're communicating through words, gestures, and writing to other individuals. People see that with their senses, they pick up on it, and they look at it and they say, well, this is true or not true, this looks good or this doesn't look good. But subconsciously, if the person is off, they're communicating through the medium of vibration that basically it's not true. This person will pick up on it over here and they will go into fear. When we teach people how to sell, especially at a high level, one of the biggest problems that a person has is to subconsciously accept the value of themselves, the value for the other person, and their product and service, and actually have that be extremely congruent through them so that they're communicating it on a very effective level. If you don't communicate it on an effective level, this person's not buying. This person's not joining. This person's not negotiating. They're gonna go find someone else. So the thing that we have to really do is understand, if we're talking about really giving the people the impression of advancement in our life, we have to embody it everywhere. It has to be part of our thinking. We have to rearrange our emotional balance system so that it is in alignment with what it is that we say we're gonna do. And this is where the part about doing stuff is so important, or keeping the commitment. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't keep that commitment, we have a big problem on our hands. We're not actually being the person that we say that we're going to be. So you're then trying to get somebody else to do something that you won't actually do yourself. And it's not a matter of preference, it's a matter of discipline. You're not committed enough to what you say will benefit somebody else, but you won't do it, you actually won't do it yourself. You won't follow through. Now, here's the big problem with this. If I'm starting out and I want to develop an elite mindset, if I don't stay committed to what I say that I'm going to do, I'm coming from this split thought. One is commitment, and the other one is basically, let's say, procrastination, okay? I need to change what's going on subconsciously here. I need to change the image. I need to change the belief. If I stick to the commitment, it doesn't matter what this belief is down here, it will begin to change. If I don't stick to the commitment, if I procrastinate, it's not just that I procrastinate, but I actually rationalize why I'm not following through. I feed that information into my subconscious mind and I develop a real belief in my excuse. I develop an excuse to become solid. It's the reason why I can stop. It's the reason why I won't follow through. But I start to believe my own bullshit about it. It becomes verifiable to me. That will become my reality. And every single time it shows up, it will be the perfect excuse for me not to actually follow through. So I literally become weaker. Now, if I'm becoming weaker because I'm not following through, do you have any idea how susceptible that makes you to other people that don't have your best interest in heart to be able to manipulate you to get you to do things? I mean, we see people that you think they're rather intelligent. They seem to be rather emotionally well-balanced, yet they're manipulated to do all kinds of crazy things. Why? Because they don't know themselves. So when you don't know yourself, all you have to have is a problem show up in your life. And if you feel insecure, then what everybody else thinks about you is going to dictate your behavior because you don't know who you are. Well, how did we forget or not know who we were? There's two ways. Either we weren't raised to find out who we are, or we broke our word with ourselves so many times that we've lost bearing on who we are. If I lose bearing on who I am, then I'm walking around and I become what other people say I am. Why do you think so many people are afraid of what other people think? Because they have no actual strength in who they actually believe that they are. A person is not going to be a person of influence in any way if they don't know who they are. So part of what we do is we help build a person up so that they know who they are. We don't change a person at their core. The other part about this is we have our higher self. Everybody has a higher self, and everybody has a purpose. And the idea is that these two things need to come together. But our higher self is always trying to, it's for advancement, but it's always trying to get us to advance in our life. It's always trying to move us forward. We're creative beings. We're here for advancement. We're here for service to our fellow human beings. But we have to develop it. We don't just get that because we're born. We have to develop a rational mind. We have to develop a mature emotional state, have really good control over our emotions, understand our emotions, and then be able to direct those things in a way that, you know, produces a solid result in our life and a solid result in someone else's life. When we consistently do that, we develop a reputation for being effective. As you build a reputation, it does become easier to continue to be more effective and to be able to influence numbers of people to be more effective in your life. Is that making sense so far, Steph, based on what you're asking me?
100%.
Okay. So think to yourself, where and if and where do I not actually keep my word with myself? Where do I not keep my word? Then ask yourself this question. What excuse are you giving yourself to make it okay to not follow through? Now, not everybody knows this, so pay very close attention. Think about the excuse that you give yourself to let yourself off the hook. Okay, you may even want to write it down. Pick one thing you don't follow through on with your word and the excuse that you give yourself not to do it and write it down. In order for this excuse to work, something in your subconscious mind has to agree with this excuse, right? So we have usually a visible verification of the reason that we don't want to, or an emotion that goes along with that verification. So we kind of see and feel why we don't want to do something. We may even visualize why we don't want to do something. People that make sales calls that procrastinate on do this all the time. They're visualizing the call going wrong. They're visualizing the conversation going wrong. They're visualizing people telling them no, you know, and the pain that, that goes along with that. But then they develop the emotional support of what they're seeing to verify the reason that they don't want to do it. What is it in a person's subconscious mind that's causing them to go along with this? I mean, we really have to think about what is it in me, if I go all the way back to these beliefs, like these middle class beliefs, what beliefs do I have going on that are actually being threatened that cause me to agree with not moving forward? Because it's never an outside thing that causes me to stop. It's my agreement with it that causes me to stop. So here's another piece of this that's really important. We have to understand that if we are going to fail or if we're going to succeed, both of those are a choice. And they're a choice that we're making. I talked about the idea of responsibility, okay? If we can't take responsibility for our own life and what's going on in our life, then we project onto our world. We project onto whatever it is that we're experiencing. We project onto a bad result, a situation, a circumstance. That becomes the problem. No responsibility. The problem there is that it doesn't, for real, but in my mind, it removes my ability to choose. It removes my ability to make a different choice in life. If these are values and beliefs that I've been raised with to go through my life that keep me safe, the underlying threat is that I won't be safe. There's something that I'm risking by changing these ideas and adopting something new. So even though it won't look like it on the surface, we're agreeing with something that is making us very uncomfortable in the moment. And in almost all cases, it's tied with safety, in almost every single one. So if it's tied to safety, then what I'm doing is I'm using my choice. I'm choosing in that moment to feel secure, to feel safe, to have some kind of representation of that in my life versus stepping out and actually making a change. So I have to have a complete understanding of why I'm doing this to begin with, or I'm not going to do it. My subconscious mind will constantly override my conscious choices every day. It'll cause my body not to feel good or feel bad. It'll cause me to be so uncomfortable. It'll cause me to have my energy drained. It will cause me to have all kinds of chaos in my life that need absolute attention from me. Therefore, I don't have the time to do it. And then one day turns into two turns into 10. And before you know it, we forget that we ever set a goal to make any kind of a change at all. So back to what the original question is, you know, if you're going to be a person that is really going to embody influence, that's going to embody the impression of advancement, these things have to be changed all the way to the core of the way that we think, the way that we feel, the actions that we get, and the results that we get. So let me just go back to the stick person here. So let's think about this. If I'm going to change, I know that I need to change the way that I'm thinking here. I need to change my emotional maturity here. I need to change my actions. But if I want to change the belief, the programmed belief that causes me to stay mediocre in my life, I have to get a new result. I have to get a new result. And I have to get a new result relatively quick, because if I consistently try to overcome these things and I'm not getting a new result, not only am I seeing what I would call a failed result, but I'm also starting to feel the emotions that go with it. Now, the second that that happens, I lose my ability to be influential. I lose my impression of advancement. So now that is being communicated to everybody that I'm working with, everybody that I'm trying to move forward with. I'm not as effective. I'm completely not as effective. Things start to go rapidly downhill from this place. And it's because I'm observing with my senses, not getting a new result. So this is why I need to get a new result right away. So how do we get a new result right away. This is the absolute important part of having a mentor, a coach, a program, something that you can reference in your life that is going to keep you psychologically sound in the moment of change. Because in the moment of change, there's a lot of imbalance that's going on. You're changing your thinking, your emotions, your actions. You're basically, at this point, you're hoping that you get a new result. You may not necessarily have one yet, but you need the visual verification that you actually got one. As I get that result, I restart to reprogram my mind because everything starts to be in integrity with itself. I develop the cause and effect reaction in my mind and my body between how I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm doing, and the new result that I get. So it's like I'm literally rewiring my brain and my behavior to get this new result. I then move into a place of understanding. Ah, I get it. I understand. Wow, this wasn't as difficult as I thought it was. Let me do it again. Here's something that's kind of funny. When I work with individuals and they first make their big sale or they first get their big result, almost every time they will say, "Did I get lucky? I hope this isn't luck," right? And why would they say that? Because they have no experience of that thought, that feeling, that behavior causing that result. They think, well, I've thought things before, I've done things before, I never got that result. How could a slight shift in how I'm thinking and feeling and behaving have such a massive difference in result? It's the thing that blew my mind when I first tripled my income. I didn't intentionally set out to triple my income. All I did was change my thinking, my emotions, and my behavior. I was an unconscious competent. I didn't know it would affect my income, and my income tripled in 30 days. And then I turned my annual income into a monthly income, and then it went over a million. And it's always continued to grow. Well, how the hell is that possible when I had no reference in my life, no education, a poor work record? How could it change that fast? Because I got everything in alignment. It's not about more effort. It's about doing the right things. It's about influencing yourself and being a person of influence, right? Being a person who embodies the impression of advancement, because that's what all wealthy people do. They embody that.
So, all right. So my third question to you is actually about what we were talking about. It's actions and habits. Mm. So in terms of rituals and habits, what can we actually do other than just becoming aware of our conflicting beliefs? Do you have suggestions for rituals or habits that we should start adopting immediately?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the do of a habit, let's ask ourselves how we're psychologically approaching it to begin with. When the middle class are going to change something, they're usually thinking, how do I do it? How do I get through it? Okay, now you might want to write this down. How do I do it? How do I get through it? Or some version of that. And here's the problem with this. We don't know. I mean, if I just answer that question myself without getting any other information, I don't have an answer because I've never done it before. So I don't know how I'm going to do it. How I get through it is a completely different question, though. And the problem is that it has this inclination of not wanting to have to do it to begin with. This is where the biggest part of the problem is for most people when it comes to results or actually doing something different to begin with. The elite mindset is, how do I succeed, right? Successful people are thinking about, how do I succeed? What do I need to do to succeed? Not, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to do this? There is no worry about how they're going to be seen by other people if they fail. There's no concern that, oh, I'm spending my last dime on this. I don't know where I'll ever get any money. This is another thing about successful individuals. Now, I've seen basically two sides to this, okay? And it's fascinating if you really study this throughout history, because there was a time when the things that I'm teaching and other people like myself are teaching, where that kind of information was not around. It was not something that was taught, especially if you go back a couple hundred years. I mean, there were some isolated cases, but it was not like the mass consciousness where people had the internet, anybody had ability to get a hold of this information. And it was like some people somehow knew that the things that they needed, right, the resources that they needed to become successful were in abundance. Like somehow they knew this because they weren't worried about if they failed. They weren't worried about like, oh, what if I invest all my money in this thing and it doesn't pay back, then I don't have anything. They always knew somehow that all they had to do was go out and do something different and they would create the money. I mean, even if they had to get a job, it's like some, they knew this somehow, right? But then you have other people that were actually taught this, you know, like resources are based on cause and effect. If you run out of a resource in your life, if you run out of money, if you understand how to bring money in, you can change that instantly. It doesn't take a long time. There's nothing to worry about. There's no fear that has to go on. You know, while we're doing this, there's like 40 million people that are unemployed, and many of them are in absolute fear right now about what they're going to do. Why? Because they don't have this knowledge. They don't have the awareness. They're waiting for someone to come save them in a very bad situation, which makes them very susceptible to any kind of idea that gets them off course in their life, right? So people can be very much manipulated by that. The idea here is that we don't want to put ourselves in that situation. We want to take back our power of how we're thinking and learn to redirect it in a way where it becomes more proactive. If I'm asking, how do I get through it? I'm not looking for markers of success. I'm not looking for them. I'm not actually setting myself up to succeed by the habits that I'm actually doing. So let's talk about a couple of those really quick. So the first idea is, what do I want? Now, when we do this, we don't want to take your whole life vision, okay? We don't want to take, oh, I want to be a kabillionaire, right? We want to take something that is real in our life, both from a desire aspect and that we want to do it and something that we're serious about. I really believe that you have to take this seriously. If you play it like some kind of a kid's game or, well, let me give it a try and see if it works, you're fucked. It is not going to work the way that you want it. Your success and what you want to create in your life, you can't just be that much about like maybe if it works. You have to be all in. Successful people are all in all the time. So what do? Clarity is the first thing. Clarity is a habit. Now, here's the idea with clarity. I will have people say to me, well, I don't know what I really want. I'm not clear. First habit, stop saying what you don't want to experience. Your words are a creative tool. Whatever you speak, you give a directive to your mind. If I say I'm broke because the reality is I don't have any money in my bank account, no money's coming in, I'm expressing what I'm experiencing, but what I don't understand is I'm giving a directive to my mind to constantly look for being broke. I'm self-identifying with that word. I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. I being me, broke being my situation. So I'm programming myself to keep recognizing that situation. Well, what if that's the truth? The idea is that it's a part of your reality. It's not the whole truth. You may not have money in your bank. You may not have the thing that you want in your actual possession, but you have to understand that it's there. Now, the problem is not that I don't have it. The problem is I can't see it. So I need to develop the habit of being able to see the thing that I say that I want. Now think about what I'm saying. If I tell you that based on universal law, all the money, all the resources that you want is already here, all you have to do is look at the law of polarity, it becomes absolutely 100% true. If you just think for a minute and think to yourself, where did all the things that people created come from? It came from the knowledge in the universe and the understanding that if I could develop the image in my mind, I could create it in my hand. Whatever I want has to already be here. The next step is how do I get myself to see it? And one of the ways that I get myself to see it is number one, clarity. I develop an image of what I want. I develop an image, a clear image of what I desire. Number two, I speak what I want to experience. Now, you have to like, For all the academics here, I get it. I get that from, you know, we're basically like, the facts are the facts, right? However, if the facts are the facts, we can't ever move forward in society with anything because all decisions are based basically made on what we only have right now. And we know intellectually that's not true. So you have to start speaking what you want. If you're not clear, say, I'm clear. I have a vision of what I want. I can see clearly in my mind. Why? Because you're giving a directive to your brain to create that in your mind. Your brain will do whatever you tell it to do. Look at it like this, folks. It'll either do what you tell it to do, or it will do what other people tell it to do. If you don't have control over your thinking, your brain is operating based on what other people are telling it to do, not what you want it to do. Think about the implications of that. Think about how vulnerable that makes you in life, right? You're not thinking for yourself. We have to start by telling ourselves, verbally speaking, what I want to experience. The money is here. The resources are here. The people are here. My clarity is here. What do I want? Speak it out loud over and over again. This is the first habit that has to change. If you don't change these, nothing changes. Because you're constantly internalizing and speaking about what you don't want as a verification of what you don't have. If you talk to people that accomplish great things, they will all tell you, I see it in my mind first. I tell myself it's going to be done first, all the way through the process. These are the first two habits that have to change. And you get your mind working with you on your success, not working against you. And that's why most people fail, because their mind is constantly working against them. They can say, I want this or I want that, all they want. But to say I want something pretty much indicates that it's not here already. It's about moving another step forward and commanding what you want in life. I am successful. I am confident. I am intelligent. I am influential. I will do this. I have clarity, and you make your mind work for you. The elite know how to make their mind work for them. See, people walk around and say, well, they get all the breaks. They're creating the breaks. They're creating the breaks because they have command over the way that they think. And that's what we're going to develop in the elite entrepreneurial mind. First two habits, clarity. Now you speak what you want, and you don't ever utter the words of what you don't want to experience again. One of the most frustrating things in my indoctrination, when I worked with my mentor for many years, by the way, he would not allow me to speak about what I didn't want. He would literally hang up on me if I started talking about what I didn't want. I was allowed to explain a situation once, and then forevermore after that, I speak about what I want, not what I don't want. He would say, stop saying that. Stop saying that. Don't you see what you're doing? You're confirming the exact thing that you don't want to experience. That is almost more powerful than what we do. Because if we do something with a mind that is corrupted, we create a disaster in our results. But if we get our mind working with what we do, we create amazing results really fast. Get your clarity and your image clear. Confirm it's clear, even if it's not, because it will become clear. Your mind will do what you tell it to do. And then make sure your words, you've decided, I'm only going to speak about what I want, no matter how bad the results are. I'm going to speak what I want to create, and you will create it.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.